It's been a long time since I played oldies, and it's also been a long time since Lynn Slonica has been in the house.
Hello, hello, hello.
That's you know. Yes, speaking of, well, no, I'll talk about myself.
I was going to say, you bring back the oldies the same day you bring back me.
Yeah. we started right where we left off.
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. It's spring-like out there.
It is. I have been describing it all morning as a heat wave.
Yeah, truly it is.
It is a heat wave, and the snow snow is melting.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, means there's going to be floods out there, folks, so
yeah,
be careful.
Floods. Yeah, roadways. All
so
that.
What's happening on the, it's been like 10 months since we've talked.
Yeah, it has. we had our summer vacation in the middle of the winter. actually, of course, you know, the ongoing or the big story that's developing and will be developing through the next 3 months is budget. School budget time. The vote is in May, and this is about the time that, even though there are conversations behind closed doors and within administrations, this is when the conversations go public, and boards of education are out there presenting their case to the public. I have to actually do my best to do a survey of all the districts around here to find out what kind of deficits we're talking about, but I think it's fair to say that most are facing 2013-2014 at a deficit. You have Caro Durham is, they've been talking now for quite a while about their $2.4 million deficit for 2013-14. That's sort of inspired their decision-making about the two elementary schools in Hudson. No real word on what that dollar amount is, but I'm sure they're looking at a deficit of at least $1 million. So that's a story that will be ongoing.
Just for the sake of refreshing the listeners, mm-hmm. and actually my memory, mm-hmm. Explain the process. What's going to happen? There's a budget proposed, and also there's also elections for school board members. What is the process that's going to be taking place over the next 2 or 3 months?
Well, what will happen is that the Board of Ed and administrative people, usually the superintendent and their business managers in each district, will sit down, calculate revenue. That is, right now, they're working with numbers that were presented by the governor in his executive budget. The deadline for the legislature to come back with the actual final, or their proposed budget, which will then lead to the final budget, is April 1st. So there aren't any real hard numbers until sometime in early April. So usually what they're calculating is based on what the governor is projecting. And they will sit down and calculate their revenue and look at their expenditures. I mean, in an ideal world, they would be doing zero-based budgeting, which is look at how much we've spent. Do we really need to spend that much again? I think the old-style budgeting is still pretty much in effect in a lot of districts around here, where it's the sort of thing where last year it was $5,000, so let's up it 3%. Across the board without any sort of analysis, but things are reaching critical mass, and there is a lot of panic about this because the pot is limited and is becoming more limited as we go down the line. And then as they go through the process, usually what a lot of districts do is that they do specific meetings on specific areas of expenditure. So you'll have a meeting one night about special education. They'll present those budget numbers. Then they get to general instruction, maintenance, all those. Transportation is a big one, especially in rural districts. And then that all comes together. The board then has to approve or put forward a formal budget. And by the second week of May, which is when everybody goes to the polls, that referendum is to approve the budget that's put forward by the board.
So each board is going to put forth their budget, and then in the second week of May, that's when the citizens get to vote it up or down.
They go to the polls, and actually what they're voting on, they're not voting on specific line item allocations. They're voting on the bottom line.
On the bottom line.
Yeah.
And the bottom line could or could not include a tax increase.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, they will tell you what that bottom line means in terms of a tax levy increase. The 2% cap is still in effect. This will be the second year that school districts have worked within that structure. 2% does not literally mean 2%,
mm-hmm.
but each district, based on their need and so forth, they have a specific calculation for what their statutory limit is, their ceiling on a tax levy increase. If they exceed that in terms of what they're asking for, then it takes a supermajority to pass that budget.
So our listeners will be hearing from us over the next few months. Well, actually, after it really doesn't get down to the nitty gritty until after April 1st.
It does, although some of it's interesting to watch because you see the trends. There are some districts that are really good about coming out early and laying it out
mm-hmm.
very, very clearly. Ichabod Crane is one that comes to mind. Chatham is pretty good. I think Catskill has been very good about talking openly about the money and, you know, what needs to be spent and what they have to spend.
And then about that time, that's when the HE double hockey sticks, if it's, anything's going to happen, that's when it takes place. The disputes that we saw like last year over whether to keep a music program, whether to keep a library, whether there's going to be layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Interesting times ahead.
Yeah, actually, Pink Slip Day, I think, is still April 15th. So that's generally the deadline for cutting, reductions in force, as they say.
I don't even like to think about
that. So that's ongoing. A story that has been in and out of the papers and I think will continue for a while is Caro Durham, their implementation of what is being referred to as a Princeton plan. It actually is an idea that goes back to the 1960s, 1946 in Princeton, New Jersey. And it was a technique that was put into place in order to end de facto segregation in Princeton. They had neighborhood schools at that point. So depending on residency, your neighborhood schools would be all white, mm-hmm. all black.
Right.
So they wanted to mix it up. And so they reconfigured their elementary program so that you would have K-2 at one school, regardless of where you lived in the district, and then 3 to 5 at the second building. In Caro Durham, they're doing this for different reasons. They're doing it as a cost-cutting effort, and they are reconfiguring their. There's discussion about the transportation issues because, of course, that's a rural district.
Yeah, and it causes some huge transportation problems for some of the parents.
Right. But what I'm hearing is the new superintendent over there, Mary Fassett, has been getting out and talking to people. They're being more proactive. There was a lot of criticism early on that the board was making that decision in a vacuum, almost, that they all, they kind of put their heads together and came up with this idea, choosing, this was the third option they had of the three cost-cutting potential decisions, they put their heads together and came up with this idea without engaging a lot of the community. They're trying to make up for that now. There is a committee involved in talking about this and facilitating it, but they're being very proactive, it seems. I should say more proactive at this point than they were even 2 months ago.
Right.
Yeah. So there's...
Yeah, because I do remember that caused an awful big stir when it was first announced.
Well, that's right. And we'll see how it works. One of the things that did come out over the past month to 6 weeks is that there was a group of people who are opposing the plan who seized upon the idea of linking this to their budget vote. And they were actually out soliciting pledges from people say, I will not vote for the budget if this plan is implemented.
That's right. I remember that. That's correct. Yeah. Whatever happened to that movement? Is that movement still in effect?
I think it is.
That
group is still active.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I'm working. I'm hoping to get the superintendent on the radio in the next couple of weeks just to talk through some of these things so we can get it straight from the source, find out what's happening over there and what she's thinking, because this is, you know, she's brand new to the job, mm-hmm. and she's walked into a bit of a hornet's nest here.
Well, here at WGXC, and we've gotten better every year on covering the town budgets when it's town budget time and when it's school budget time. And each year we're getting better and better. So, folks, I'm looking out for – I kind of get excited. I get into it.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. Some of them are boring, but then some of the school districts, you got some extra pop Zoom.
Yeah.
So we will be covering it, and so stay tuned. We can we'll get all the nitty gritty for you.
Yeah, it'll be a week after week, something new. Yeah, I guarantee it.
Right. At one point, the closer it gets to the referendum, it's like every day.
Right. That's right.
Something changes.
Just a little note too. I don't know if this is a testament to the times and how desperate people are feeling, but there have been a couple of big Board of Ed blow ups in the last month. Elizabeth Fout in Hudson. Abruptly stood in a meeting about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was the end of January, announcing that she was going to resign. This was after an extended executive session. It somehow relates to this ongoing battle over the high school principal. Mm-hmm. She stood and she left. She said she was resigning, but she didn't formalize it with a letter, so she stayed on the board. But the tension has continued there. It's tough. Uh-huh. And now the latest thing is Nathan Mayberg has a story in the paper. I wasn't able to attend the meeting on Monday night because I had a radio commitment. But apparently they made a decision about the sale of the Clavrick building. And they did not disclose who they were selling it to in the vote. So he made a point of writing a story to that effect on Monday. Well, on today, there's a story saying that they have disclosed the seller. And what it comes down to is they are plagued with parliamentary issues mm-hmm. on that board. It's hard to tell what they're voting on at any given moment, or who's voting what way or the other. And this seems like it was a real goof.
Under the circumstances, from going back to last summer with the issue with the principal, you would think that the last thing you would want to do is to sell a building anonymously.
Well, and aside from the fact that it does need to be approved by
right.
the public at a referendum.
Right.
So you have to say who you're selling,
who you're selling it to
and for how much money. And to think that you're going to keep that secret and keep that close to your chest until it comes time to say, oh, well, we're doing this. Yeah, it's really a mess.
Yeah,
And I'm sure they'll come back at their next meeting and pass a second resolution, post-dated, which is actually, to be honest, that's what they did in the original Gavin matter.
No, okay.
They did not vote to suspend him, but then they did it retroactively at the next, like 2 or 3 weeks later.
Now, he's back and he's at BOCES, correct?
No, he is not. No, that was what they indicated they were going to do. It was essentially they were saying that they were going to put him in a rubber room.
Still on paid leave?
He is still on paid leave, yes.
And how long has it been now?
It's been since October. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole conversation unto itself.
So you understand this, folks, that the principal of Hudson High School.
That's right.
Has been on paid leave mm-hmm. since October of last year.
Right. And this is a school in significant academic need. And you take, for better or for worse, whoever he is, you take that leadership away from the school. You have to question that. But, that's just my opinion.
Not coming down on either side of the dispute, he's still been on paid leave for over
right.
6 months.
That's right.
A very long time.
Yeah, and he's one of the top earners in the district. He makes six figures.
And there hasn't been any pushback from the parents yet?
There has been. Every meeting, every school board meeting, there are at least a couple of people who show up and say, what's going on?
Yeah, right. Excuse
we don't
me.
Understand. And the board does not say a word. They will not. And actually, that was one of the things when Fout walked out. She did sit down with me when she decided to come back. I did an interview with her. It's at my on my blog, Unmuffled. Mm-hmm. But she was very outspoken about the issues and her concerns about how this matter, but also in general, how there's a sort of a head in the sand attitude by the board when it comes to some of these significant basic issues around the question of education.
Well, it's going to be unavoidable after April the 1st, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because then you're going to have to put the cards on the table discussing the budget.
Well,
and he's in that budget.
He's in that budget. And also what's important there is that, you know, hiring and firing decisions,
right,
or firing or layoff decisions are based on seniority. And this is the guy with seniority. So
my.
Yeah, exactly. So the only other thing I wanted to mention was the Greenville story, which is sort of a similar thing. That's on the news blog today. A member of the Greenville School Board left in frustration over voting on the their superintendent's new contract, or it's mm-hmm. actually a renewal of a contract, and she objects strenuously to the idea that the district's contribution to her retirement health care should be at the level of 85% when all the other employees are at 50.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but if she leaves the district's employ, Superintendent Dudley leaves the school district's employ after 10 years or for 10 years and then retires, the district, that is Greenville, is still on the hook for her health care.
Wow.
And this woman made the point, you know, not only is it an equity issue, but just in terms of, you know, the reality, the fiscal reality mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, that's a lead story on our news on our news page on WGXE from Lynn Sloniker. I read that in the opening news spiel. So there are going to be some interesting things happening.
I think this is going to be an interesting budget season.
The budget season, we'll call it as the budget turns.
There you go. As the ledger turns.
As the ledger turns.
And that's really about it for today. We'll have much more next week.
Okay, so this is going to be fun, folks. As usual, we love your input here at WGXE. We are a community station, and we are going to be talking about things that affect you. So if we chat for a couple of we're going to try to do this on Tuesdays now.
That's right.
And we don't mention your school district, then, you know, you give us a phone call,
yeah,
fire it up. Hey, what's going on in my school district? And we have a small staff of really dedicated volunteers, so we'll get around and find out about it.
That's right. Tell us what we need to know.
That's right. You can call us up at 828-0290 with a 518 area code, or at WGXC to email us.
Oh, at news.
News at WGXC.org. And let us know what you think or what you want to know, and so we can get right on in it. That sounds like a... It sounds like it's going to be a fun season. So, thank you, Lynn.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm going to go back to oldies.